In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. There is something very important that we, as young and old, should give an attention to. That is friendship. So I'm going to talk to you today about the fundamentals of friendship. As you all know from the story of the prodigal son, which is mentioned in the book of Luke in chapter 15, for example, it says in verse 13, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. When you have friends that are not of good standard, you are losing yourself and you waste your position with prodigal living. But in today's scripture, you hear about something amazing. It says, behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, the friends, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. The friends, the good friends, are the one who bring you to the Lord himself. And the bad friends will take you far away from yourself and your family and for everybody else. So what would be the quality friendship and the fundamentals of quality friendship? There is something that St. Paul said in the book of Philippians chapter 4 in 3 verses 21, 22, and 23 that I will read to you, and you will wonder how would I get all the information from those 3 verses. It says here, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren, the friends who are with me, greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And that's it. That's all what he said at the end of chapter 4, the book of Philippians. And if you look at this, you wonder that St. Paul was under the sentence of death, and his last word in his letter are not something like, pray for me to get out of jail, or woe is me, but he is sharing greetings from one set of friends to another friends. And if you think seriously about this one, it means there is a sign of joyful life. And one of the reasons St. Paul enjoyed life so much is because he made many friends. And that's a great key to your enjoyment of life as well. So the question is, how did St. Paul do it? And how did he make friends? And how can you make good friends, good quality friends? The very first fundamental of quality friendship is, number one, you take the initiative. As you heard the verse I read now, it says, greet every saint in Christ Jesus, the friends or the brethren who are with me greet you. So if you want to enjoy friendship with others, you are going to have to learn to take some initiative, period. Do you know, for example, why a lot of people don't have the friends they so deeply long to have? Because they are afraid to be the one to initiate. So St. Paul and the friends he made in Rome were initiating the greeting. He says something like, tell all the believers in Philippi that I said hello. Tell them my friends here in Rome say hello. And he is also telling the recipients of the letter to take the initiative to greet others. Go and tell everybody we said hi. So go ahead and take the initiative. Sometimes you say, but I have taken the initiative before and I have got shut down. The person or people I was trying to befriend were not interested, or they were too busy, or whatever. It is okay if you try to be someone's friend and they are not ready. St. Paul experienced that all the time. In every city he went to telling the good news about the Lord Jesus, there were people who did not even want to be his friends. In fact, there were a lot of people who became his enemies. And many who fasted because they want to kill him. They have a vow to fast until they kill him. So the reason we're afraid to initiate is we're afraid of being turned down or let down. Sometimes it is because we have too much pride, but somehow we need to overcome this fear of rejection. The reason we are afraid to initiate is we are afraid of being turned down, and that should not be a stumbling block. We all have problems in our life. We are all human. As a human, we have some lack of knowledge of friendship. We claim that we know friendships, but we do not. The truth is we do not. We have to learn how to overcome the fear of rejection. And that's difficult for some of us, because another big reason we're afraid to initiate is that we have experienced some very painful relationships and some rejections in our life. Some of you may have rejection even from home, the parents, the brother or sister, even from the church, even from the spouse, your siblings, maybe from your school friends whom you thought they are friends. And you are still like nursing your wounds, and you still feel it is really hurting. And maybe you have been hurt somehow in the past by a friend or a husband or a wife. But one of the best things you could do right now is to conquer that hurt with the healing power of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. However, I will tell you that it is going to require treatment. Physical injury requires physical treatment, right? Same. Emotional injuries require emotional treatment. A lot of people deal with emotional pain by hiding it. They often do something self-gratifying, like drink alcohol, abuse drug, or participate in unlawful relationships. And they engage in behavior that maybe numbs the pain. It does not treat the pain, it just numbs the pain. So the problem is, these things never heal the pain, and the pain will never go away if you do it this way. Turning into drinking and wrong relationships will never do it. Deep down inside, it always nags at them. That's why some people have a lot of bitterness and anger and resentful feelings inside. And that is our first option, to experience the pain of bitterness, anger, and resentment. We choose the option of pain when all while there is another option. The other option is we can give our pain to God. And just exactly how can we do that? The Lord Himself said it in the book of Luke in chapter 6. In verse 28, He said, "Bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you." Bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. In psychology, if you read a little bit about psychology, there is axiom-like principle, that an anxiety and a relaxation cannot both exist in a person at the same time. And anxiety and relaxation cannot exist in you at the same time. We all know that, but nobody rests when they are anxious. A similar axiom exists in the spiritual realm. You cannot hate a person and pray for him at the same time, or actually not sincerely so. So what the Lord is saying is we need to pray for those who hurt you, so the hurt will not be affecting you in any way and will not make you feel miserable. When you pray, you know and you feel there is someone else with you trying to take and lift up the pain away from you. And I have to be honest, and I will make you a guarantee, that if you try to make friends in this life, you will be hurt. People will hurt you, and some of your deepest hurts will come from your own closest friends. Even that, our prophet King David said in Psalm 41 and verse 9, he said, "Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." So David wrote that because he had some pretty bad experience in life with friends. You will have some too. So this verse also, as you know, it is a prophecy about the Lord himself when we were talking about the betrayal of Judas to the Lord Jesus himself. Your own friends, your own disciple, your own family member may betray you. So you would expect it. You know it's coming, and that should not hurt you. But the question is, does that mean that David or even the Lord Jesus stopped from having friends or enjoying friendship? Not at all. I am sure glad the Lord Jesus did not give up on letting us become like his friends because of people like Judas. Thank God that he still calls us friends. The Lord himself calls us his children, his servant, and his friends, as I will read to you in a minute. Just because some friends will become disloyal does not mean that you have to give up on friendship altogether. Sure, true friendship is built on trust, but you do not always have to give up, even on disloyal friends. They are human. We have weaknesses, and we have to forgive one another. You need to learn to forgive your friends. You don't have to become cynical and isolate yourself. That self-protection does not work. It isolates you into missing one of life's greatest blessing, the blessing of having friends. Having friends is a blessing if you take it the right way. What the Lord Jesus taught us about praying for those who curse us and hurt us, that should work. That should make you to really enjoy friendship and have the blessings of friendship. Of course, we can live free from the control of emotional hurt, and we can enjoy life even if no one wants to be our friend. We can find some folks out there who would want to be your friends, but you need to find those friends. You need to take the initiative. You need to go out and reach out and reach someone. You will never enjoy the great blessings of friendship if you keep your guard up all the time. So take the initiative. Say hello to others. Talk to everybody. Even here in the church, I found people do not know each other so much. And I mentioned a name of someone maybe in a hospital and needs some visitation and says, who is that? You don't know even people here in the church who are supposed to be your family members in the Lord Christ. Take the initiative. If you don't know someone, go greet someone and say, hi, my name is, and how about you? And start to enjoy this friendship. That's the first fundamental of friendship, to take initiative. The second one, to befriend those in tight places. Again, from verse 22 that we read in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, St. Paul said, all the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. Why did St. Paul single out the believers who worked in Caesar's household? You wonder, why did he mention that? There were people in Caesar's household, like people who work in Caesar's house, in the palace itself, like those who are cooks, soldiers, people who make the beds, and even family members of Caesar, who were following the Lord Jesus Christ but were not able to express that belief because they were under pressure. And you might know at the time of St. Paul, Caesar was Nero, the most terrible and painful emperor of Rome that you would ever hear about. And even he was known to burn Rome in the year 64 AD, and he blamed the burning of Rome on the Christians, and he started to persecute Christians, and he killed St. Paul and crucified St. Peter. But yet, in his palace, there were many Christians, many people in this tight place, and they cannot really express it, like similar to our families in Egypt who have suffered from non-Christian. They are under persecution, and we send them our greeting and our prayer all the time, and we should always do that, not because they are under pressure that we will forget about our family and our friends anywhere. So if anyone deserves friendship, if anyone needs our friendship, it is someone who is in a tight place under persecution, like Caesar's household. There are a lot of people in this world who are not as physically and financially blessed as most of us. In fact, The Bible says that many times people are looked down upon because of their adverse circumstances. Take poor people for example. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, in chapter 14, verse 20, the poor man is hated even by his own neighbor, but the rich has many friends. That's really very sad when you hear it, that human nature is so weak. Everybody wants to be friend with the rich, and not many want to befriend the poor. But the Bible teaches us to be friends with everybody. I don't mean that we'll not be friends with the rich, but why should we despise the poor? They are God's creation and His children, and we should always respect everybody. The man who comes and mow your lawn and who will take care of your swimming pool or whatever you have at home, not because he is not of your kind that you disrespect him or despise him. Everybody is God's creation. He is created on God's own image and likeness, and we should respect them and treat them like friends. The Lord Jesus taught this by his life and by his word. For example, you remember the Pharisee who invited him to dinner one day, and the Lord said in the book of Luke chapter 14, please listen, he said, then he also said to him who invited him, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Those supposed to be your friends. Those are supposed to be the ones that you respect even more than anybody else. God always looks out for the needy, and He wants us to do the same. He does not just want us to have friends that bless us. He wants us also to initiate friendship with people to whom you can be a blessing. Through Christ who is in you, you could be a blessing to somebody that you may not expect to be. So if you really want to enjoy life, act according to God's commandment. Befriend the people who really need a friend, and do not worry about becoming the friend of the rich and the famous. Concern yourself with becoming the friend of the poor and destitute, the sad and the lonely, the homeless and the hurting, the man or woman or a child with disease, the persecuted believers around the whole world. And as you know, many of our children right now are in Africa and Kenya. They are serving and they are teaching, and I'm very proud of them. And I wish that next year we can have more people to go and help. They are the one who needs your help. They are the one who cannot even find food or drink. And we hear complain if the drink is not so cold or not icy. And they cannot even find good clean water. Those are the ones that God called my brother, my brethren, all of them. And we should also give them all what we can. Do not pick and choose your friends. Those who can polish your image and or give you business contact or make you laugh. I don't mean that you will not befriend those who will make you laugh. We should. But I mean also everybody else whom you think will not make you happy. You will make them happy. That in itself is a blessing. Do not lose it. In the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 16, St. Paul said, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. So please take this into heart. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. A lot of people miss out the joy of friendship because they are looking for the wrong kind of people to be friends. But I tell you a couple of words here. Be friendly with everybody and make friends with ordinary people. Again, be friendly with everyone, no exception, no rule, not pick and choose someone. Everybody with no exception whatsoever. And make friends with ordinary people, old and young, poor and rich, and everyone, there is no exception whatsoever. This is the joy of life that comes from. The third and the last fundamental of friendship is to enjoy the grace of God. Again, from chapter 4 of Philippians, verse 23 that we read earlier, when St. Paul said, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Here we are talking about the grace of God. Do you know what happens when I walk closely with God? Many, many good things would happen. But one in particular is I am better able to do many good things and to be a good friend to many people. One of the greatest gifts that God will give you is to be a friend to someone, to cheer somebody up, to make him smile, to stand by him during hard time and tribulations. That is a grace of God that's working in you to make that person happy. You will not be like self-centered and close on yourself and isolate yourself. To go with someone, to speak with someone, to visit a sick person or someone in need, or you're going through a hard time, you are acting exactly like God, who used to go and walk every time and everywhere, and he never stopped talking to people. He never stopped accepting people as they are. He accepted the Pharisee, the tax collector, the sick and the good one, everybody. He never left anyone out of his care. So how can you get to the place of friendship with Christ? The Lord Jesus said in the book of John in chapter 15, "You are my friends." Please listen, the Lord himself said to us, "You are my friends." How can I be your friend? "If you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." So can I become the friend of the Lord Jesus Christ himself? Yes, you can, by obeying his commandments and follow all what we say and you hear here in the church. So if you have friendship with the Lord Jesus, then you have God's grace. And when you experience God's grace, you will be a better friend and experience better friendship. That's how you really enjoy life, if you wish to enjoy it. It is my fourth year here with you, and that my first Sunday in the fourth year to be with you. And I tell you, I had in the last month, I was talking to everybody in everywhere I go because of my service. I get invited and speak. And everywhere I go, I talk about Church of St. Mary. I even tell them St. Mary is of Chicago is much different than any other St. Mary. And of course, we tease each other. But I tell them I am very proud of my congregation. And I love them so much. I have the best friends ever that I can. I never even thought that God will grant me those good people here. I have the best board of deacons. I have the best deacons and have the best servants. And some tell me, "You didn't never even talk to them a little hard?" I say, "Yes, I do, as a matter of fact." And they tell me, "How is that?" I said, "I apply the commandment that the Lord said, the tree that brings forth fruits, I prune to bring more fruits." So when I do it in the church, because I know I have good trees that will bring more fruits, may the Lord help us all to bring more fruits, and glory be to God now and forever. Ever. Amen.